Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Lord willing, I'd like to look at verses 3 through 5. But I'd like to just say a couple of things about the first two verses to bring us to this point. Time has not always existed. We deal in time now, but before time was, there was God. And when it pleased God to establish what we know as time, God did that which only God could do. In the beginning of time, God created the heaven and the earth. There can be no beginning of eternity, so therefore we know that this first verse is dealing with when God established time. Nehemiah 9:6 says, "Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee." So Almighty God, when it pleased the Lord, in the beginning of time, created the heaven and the earth. And concerning time, the Lord has established and decreed everything that shall be. There has not been a moment from the beginning of time that was not according to God's everlasting will and purpose. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, even those things that are contrary to Him, in rebellion to Him. God Almighty allows, permits. He's not the author of sin. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." Now, when God created the heaven and the earth, He did so by the word of His power, and God's people believe it. We don't doubt. Hebrews 11:3, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, that is, arranged and put in order by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Whenever God created the heaven and the earth, how did He create it? What did it look like? What was it? Well, I can tell you this. Here's the comforting thing about the Word of God. God tells us how it was created. I read many writers on this particular passage of Scripture, and they said, now, when it was first created, it was just a mass of stuff without form and void. Well, I want to read a passage of Scripture for you, and you tell me how the earth was created. Isaiah 45:18. "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed or fashioned the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain." What does that mean? It means to lie in waste, formless, or in confusion. "He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." Now, let me tell you how God made the earth. He made it just exactly the way it is. He made it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. That's what the Scripture says. But in verse 2, something happened. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, something happened, and I told the first group, I don't know what it was. The Scripture doesn't say. I'll tell you what I think it was. I think it was when Satan was expelled out of heaven, cast down to the earth. I think that that's probably as much, if not all, to do with it. But verse 2 sets forth that something happens and sets forth the creation of heaven and earth to have become and now exist in a state of corruption and confusion, a place where darkness was upon the face of the deep. I want to just look for just a second and see in my notes from the first message this morning. I was going to see these. I wanted to set forth those the definition of those words that I defined all of them, and I'll define them for you. I think it was profitable for us then, and I want to. It says the earth was. The word was there. It means to be, to become, come to pass, to exist, to happen, or fall out. That's what the word was. And the earth was without form. It means did lie in waste, deserted, desolation, a worthless thing, confusion, nothing. And the earth was without form and void. The word void there means empty, indistinguishable ruin. And darkness, misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow was upon the face of the deep. Now that's what verse 2 is defined as. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now what we have in these first two verses is the setting forth truly of the creation of heaven and earth, but also of the creation of man and man's fall in the garden. Remember the two on the road to Emmaus when the Lord began with Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures those things concerning Himself. So I can tell you what this is all about. This is about man's creation. God created man and created this heaven and earth to be a picture and type of man as he was created. How was man created? Well, the Scripture says in Ecclesiastes 7:29, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright." How was man made? He was created straight, right, pleasant, and prosperous. But just as the earth, something happened. Man disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, and he died. And now he is as the earth was described to be, without form. What did that mean? Waste. And void. Indistinguishable ruin. And one in whom there is nothing but darkness found, without the light or the knowledge of God. He died spiritually. But according to the good pleasure and mercy of Almighty God, mankind was not left to itself to perish in the darkness of sin and unbelief. This is what happened. This is what happened. And Almighty God is setting forth. Did any of this take God by surprise? Whenever God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. And when God cursed the earth because of Adam's sin, God cursed the earth. Did that take God by surprise? That may be the insinuation that's set forth here. God cursed the earth. Now thorns and thistles come, and man's going to have to eat his bread by the sweat of his brow. Is that when it was? I don't know. The scripture doesn't say. But I can tell you this. This is a picture and a type of what happened to man in the garden. This is what happened to mankind. And just as the earth was void and without form and darkness, Almighty God has set forth that's us. As we are found in Adam. In Adam, all die. But as I said a moment ago, according to God's good pleasure, mercy, God has a people that He's going to save. God has a people that He's going to call to Himself. A people that He's everlastingly loved. And the last part of verse 2 sets forth that which Almighty God has everlastingly been pleased to bring about. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Hovered. Brooded. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters in the creation. And whenever it pleases God to cross the path of one of God's elect, call them to Himself, the Spirit of God moves upon those vessels of His mercy. He speaks to them, but here's the good thing. There's never been a time that the Spirit of God ever left God's own to themselves. Even when we were yet in the darkness of sin and unbelief. Now you think about it, and you think about your own life, I'll do about mine. But I can tell you this, I am so thankful that the Lord never left me to myself. Before I ever knew Him, before I ever cared, before I ever had a desire to come to Him, when all I could do was argue as if I knew better than God, Almighty God was watching, hovering. I can't help to think that like an eagle hovers, broods over her little eaglets, like a mother would nurse her child, cuddle her child, hover over, protect that child, watch it, do whatever that child needs. Here's the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And that, always protecting them. Providing the ministers, the angels, ministering spirits for those who are the objects shall be heirs of salvation. And here's what happened. Almighty God, in the very depth of our need, He moved upon the face of the waters. And when the time of love was come, and this is where we're going to start right here, pick up. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. I want you to notice the certainty of spiritual awakening. Isaiah verse 60, chapter 60 verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord, that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is risen upon thee. Man by nature is blind. He's that earth that's without form. That's earth void, darkness on the face of the deep.
How much has sin affected concerning the creation? How much has sin affected the stars? Are not pure in His sight. Now you think about that. What did a star ever do? What did a star ever do but twinkle into the glory of God? And because of one man's rebellion, one man's sin, now all of creation is cursed. The stars are not pure in His sight. How much less man that drinketh iniquity like water? Just give me a big old glass of that and I'll just drink her down. And loves it. Oh, and when God was pleased to move upon the waters, upon the deep, upon the abyss of this wretched mass of pollution. God said, God spoke, God said, let there be light. And the Scripture says, it was there. Oh, the marvelous display of God's sovereignty. I remember thinking about Elisha and his servant surrounded by the enemy, and there was no apparent, you know, avenue of deliverance or hope. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray Thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. That this word of promise that comes to those that the Lord has everlastingly loved in Christ, Isaiah 35:5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The Scripture declares, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. And when God is pleased to give light, the light of His glory in the person of His precious Son, it is. And they see, and that before they couldn't see. There it is. He speaks, and it is. And there was light. Before it was darkness, it was death. You can sit here and sit under the gospel all your life, and you hear just exactly what I'm saying. And when the Spirit of God is pleased to move on it and remove a heart of stone and give a heart of flesh and give a new mind and give eyes to see and ears to hear, all of a sudden you say, I see it. I see it. I didn't see it before. I heard what you're saying, but I just didn't hear it. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light, the understanding of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hold your place right there. Turn to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. And I want to read verses 20. Isaiah 59:20. And just read the first couple of verses of the next one in Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 59, verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness of the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Darkness is all around. Darkness within until God is pleased to shine the light of the glory of Christ in the hearts of His people. And they see. They see. Look, Ephesians, I'll read this for you. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, 15 to 18. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The darkness is me by nature, you by nature. God created us upright, but we fell because of sin. But God, having a people, moved upon the face of the waters, the deep, the abyss. And when it pleased God, God said, in sovereign mercy, let there be light. And there was light. You know, when the Lord is pleased to give light in regenerating grace, God's people see. What do they see? Well, number one, I tell you the first thing they see themselves for what they are. What Paul the Apostle, what did the Spirit of God move upon the Apostle Paul to say? Oh, wretched man that I am. Now listen, what believer doesn't agree with this statement? There's none good. No, not one. I know just enough about myself to absolutely agree with God from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot. There's nothing but putrefying sores. They've not been closed up. They're not bound and not mollified with ointment or something. I know that. I deserve wrath. I deserve it. But that God would not give it to me was strictly by His mercy and grace. So I know what I am. But then secondly, I know who God is. Something about who He is. I see through a glass darkly. I know in part, but I know this. God is God, and I'm not. He's in the heavens, and I'm earthy. I know He's holy. He's just, and He's sovereign. He does as He will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. I know He's ordering all this. And though His good providence flies in the face of my flesh, and my flesh raises its ugly head in rebellion against Him, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. And He's right. I know that. And I know something about the Lamb of God. I know something about God's mercy. I don't know as I wish I did. And by the grace of God, one day I will. But I can tell you this. Almighty God has been pleased to save some sinners. And I'm one of them. And He's just. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world and was made sin for God's people. And I believe God. And I pray that God has had mercy on this sinner and has taught me truly what I declare from this pulpit. I know that He's a suffering Savior. He is the precious Redeemer. And God's people, according to the mercy of God, cast themselves upon Him. Oh, the wonder of God's mercy. The Scripture says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And if God has given any sinner light, they know who they are, they know who God is, and they know who His Savior is. And they look to Him. And it's effectual. God said, let there be light, and there was light. He didn't offer me light. I'd say, well, I just exercise my free will, whether or not I'll take it or whether I'll refuse it. No, there was light. Aren't you glad? Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. That's what you just read. It shall not return unto me void. Aren't you glad for that?
but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word is not like a shotgun. It's got a wide pattern. I'm telling you, it pointed. He sent it. He sent it in specifically. Oh, when we're talking about and considering, God said, let there be light. We're talking about Christ being revealed to His own. That's what, let there be light. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let there be light. Let there be light found in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And there was light. And verse 4 says, and God saw the light. God saw the glory of Christ formed in His people. He saw the light. He saw the Son. That's my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. He saw the one in whom He trusted, first trusted. God saw the light formed in His people. He saw, He said, when I see the blood, I see the light, I'll pass over you. He saw the light, that it was good. This was the one that was ever before Him. The one that was brought up with Him. The one that was daily His delight. This is... You think the Father beholds the Son formed in His people? You think He fails to behold Christ, the hope of glory, in a vessel of His mercy? God saw the light. It was good. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The one who answers the demand of justice and righteousness for His people. God said, that's good. That's good. That's good. God saw the light. And oh, as God sees the light formed in His own. And God said, that's good. And we say, Lord, thank You. Thank You. The latter part of verse 4 says, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now you know, in the creation, and here again, we do remember now, we're talking about the creation of this earth, the heavens and the earth. But we're also talking about God's people and their fall and God's mercy and redemption. Regeneration, salvation. But here the Scripture says, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now, you know, I can absolutely understand in the creation, there's a division of light and darkness. I mean, here's a sun, here's an earth, and this earth is rotating. And as it rotates, whatever's facing the sun, it's light. It's, you know, and whatever's on the other side is night. There's a difference. But now, do we not behold in the vessels of God's mercy the very essence of two natures? God divided the light from the darkness. And here's the thing. They don't mix. He divided it. God divided it. There's a picture now. The Spirit of God moved upon the waters in prevenient grace, grace before grace, and then in the time of love, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And as soon as there was light, you know what God revealed to them? There's a division between light and darkness. There's an old man and a new man. There's two principles working within. One earth. One earth. God created heaven and earth. There's one earth.
And there's light and darkness in both of them. In that one earth. I don't mean both of them. Just one. There's light and darkness. Paul said in Romans 7:21, then I see a law. This is an established fact. That when I would do good, evil is present with me. A believer now knows that the spiritual light and that spiritual darkness, they don't have any communion. Whenever that earth is spinning, if it's day, it's daylight right now. Kind of cloudy, but it's daylight. But there's a part of this earth that it's the middle of the night right now, and everybody's asleep. Now we're sitting right here, wide awake. And there's some people that's oblivious to what's going on. They're sleeping. But that believer knows that light and darkness has no communion. They don't mix. God has set a division between the two, and there's no fellowship within us or without us. Light and darkness, whether you're talking about what's inside me, the two natures, or the fellowship with the darkness of this world and its false religion, there's a difference, there's a division between them. God separated, God divided the light from the darkness. In verse 5, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now that last verse right there sets forth the life and the walk of every believer until the day of his departure out of this world. He knows that there's two natures in him, day and night. And his new man is described as day. Light. Awake. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 said, ye are all the children of light. And children of the day. But the latter part of that verse right there has something to say about that old man. That old man that we don't love. As Job says, I loathe myself. Old wretched man, Paul says, that I am. Paul says this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. You think Paul enjoyed that old man? You think he enjoyed that kind of having a little fellowship with him? Devil, he just, you know what a believer does when he catches himself and he sees that him raising his ugly head? You hate it, don't you? I hate it. Why am I thus? Why am I like that? I said I'd never do that again. That ye are children of light and children of the day, but that old man, we're not of the night, of darkness. Oh, he's there. But we don't agree with him. I don't agree with me. I'm there, and I know I'm there, and I know what I'm thinking, I know what I thought, and I loathe myself. And this revelation is ours to behold and understand in the time of our spiritual awakening. When did we first realize that? Verse 5. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The first day of our understanding. When God called us out. When the Lord was pleased to call us out of darkness, that was our first day. That was day one. When was it? Well, some people seem to be able to name it and time it and, put it down and got a plaque on the wall and got it framed and suitable for framing and stuff like that. There was a time, I can tell you this, when God called me out of darkness. But as I grow in grace and wisdom and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and more of myself, I realize now, just as I don't really know exactly when I was conceived, but obviously I was because I'm standing here. Well, I know this. The evening and the morning was the first day when God was pleased to open my eyes and reveal Christ and say, let there be light, and there was light. And in the process of time, I realized, I know that my day started when there was a day and a night. It started when God called me out of darkness. And we'll continue knowing that in our flesh, and we'll know it more and more, there dwelleth no good thing. We're going to know it. We're going to know that, you know, that there is an evening, a night, but thanks be unto God that there's a morning too. There's a morning. Here's what I know. The evening and the morning for the first day, that there's a time set that's going to end the very presence of sin, the night. A day in which the Lord is going to return and there's not going to be any more light. Night. It's going to be that dawn of the eternal day of life in Christ. We'll be in that glorious heavenly Jerusalem where there'll be no need of the sun. The Lamb is the sun. He's the light. And Almighty God will be pleased to take this tabernacle of flesh. It'll be sown in corruption. That's what it is. But it's going to be raised in incorruption. And there's going to be light. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be made like Him. We'll see Him as He is and be like Him. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I pray the Lord bless this to our hearts for His glory and our understanding and comfort. Amen.